This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for the week of February 26, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. On this week's podcast, A Century of Auden. If W.H. Auden were still living, he would have been 100 years old on February 21st. Readings and lectures have started marking the centenary. Not that his poetry really needs the attention. Auden's reputation has never flagged since his death in 1973. Some of his poems have even made their way into popular culture. Right after September 11th, his poem, September 1939, about the beginning of World War II, popped up all over the web and even on NPR.
I sit in one of the dives on 52nd Street, uncertain and afraid.
Auden himself was a terrific reader of his own stuff, never dramatic, but always very measured and precise.
Look, stranger, at this island now. The leaping light Fjorda Light discovers.
A generous sampling of his readings is collected in the CD series The Voice of the Poet, published by Random House Audiobooks. The CD comes with a small book of poems in their print form and an introductory essay by the series editor, J.D. McClatchy. On today's podcast, we're going to hear a track from that CD, Auden reading one of his greatest poems, The Shield of Achilles. But first, I asked J.D. McClatchy to explain one of Auden's deepest contradictions. Here was a poet who believed in writing poetry about social ills and politics, but who also once famously said that poetry itself makes nothing happen.
I'm not sure that he entirely believed that poetry makes nothing happen. I think it was something that he said at one point. He often changed his mind about things. I think he thought that poetry couldn't stand up to political dogma, to the chatter of both journalism and history. I think he felt, as Wordsworth did, that poetry, the best poetry, was meant to make, as Wordsworth said, new compositions of feeling. How we view the world, not necessarily what we do in the world, although the latter depends finally on the former.
So poems can shape how we feel, and how we feel can determine how we act. Indirectly, then, poetry can change the world. Auden wrote The Shield of Achilles shortly after World War II in the early 1950s. J.D. McClatchy says that the poem reflects the landscape of that war, which Auden saw firsthand.
He joined the army. Mm-hmm. And was signed to the U.S. Strategic Bombing Survey in Germany. He went to Germany to see what the effects of the horrific American bombing and the end of the campaigns at the end of the war had done to the citizens in Germany.
But the poem never mentions World War II or Germany. Its subject is taken from Homer, Book 18 of the Iliad. Here, in a nutshell, is the story. Achilles' mother, Thetis, has gone to Hephaestus, the blacksmith god. She asks him to make a shield that will protect her son in battle at Troy. With Thetis looking over his shoulder, Hephaestus shocks her by decorating the shield with grim images of war and destruction instead of graceful pictures of an ordered, peaceful world. The poem's about 3.5 minutes long, and I'll have a post-poem chat with J.D. McClatchy. Here's W.H. Auden reading The Shield of Achilles.
She looked over his shoulder for vines and olive trees, marble well-governed cities and ships upon untamed seas. But there on the shining metal his hands had put instead an artificial wilderness and a sky like lead. A plain without a feature, bare and brown, no blade of grass, no sign of neighborhood, nothing to eat and nowhere to sit down. Yet congregated on its blankness stood an unintelligible multitude, a million eyes, a million boots in line, without expression, waiting for a sign. Out of the air, a voice without a face, proved by statistics that some cause was just, in tones as dry and level as the place. No one was cheered, and nothing was discussed. Column by column in a cloud of dust, they marched away, enduring a belief whose logic brought them somewhere else to grief. She looked over his shoulder for ritual pieties, white flower-garlanded heifers, libation and sacrifice. But there on the shining metal, where the altar should have been, she saw by his flickering forge light quite another scene. Barbed wire enclosed an arbitrary spot where bored officials lounged, one cracked a joke, and sentries sweated, for the day was hot. A crowd of ordinary, decent folk watched from without and neither moved nor spoke as three pale figures were led forth and bound to three posts driven upright in the ground. The mass and majesty of this world, all that carries weight and always weighs the same, lay in the hands of others. They were small and could not hope for help, and no help came. What their foes liked to do was done. Their shame was all the worst could wish. They lost their pride and died as men before their bodies died. She looked over his shoulder for athletes at their games, men and women in a dance, moving their sweet limbs quick, quick to music. But there on the shining shield, his hands had set no dancing floor, but a weed-choked field. A ragged urchin, aimless and alone, loitered about that vacancy. A bird flew up to safety from his well-aimed stone. That girls are raped, that two boys knife a third, were axioms to him, who had never heard of any world where promises were kept, or one could weep because another wept. The thin-lipped armorer, Hephaestus, hobbled away. Thetis of the shining breasts cried out in dismay at what the god had wrought to please her son, the strong, iron-hearted, man-slaying Achilles, who would not live long.
W.H. Auden reading The Shield of Achilles. In a sense, this poem really does sound like a product of the early 1950s, with its evocation of mass society and faceless totalitarian rule. Going back to the third stanza, he says,
out of the air, a voice without a face, proved by statistics that some cause was just, in tones as dry and level as the place.
This is the world of Orwell's Big Brother.
Once again, J.D. McClatchy.
It's the world of modern tyranny and totalitarian government. But it is that sense that the history of the 20th century has so brutally betrayed the promise of civilization.
A few stanzas later, Auden introduces some religious imagery into an execution scene.
A crowd of ordinary, decent folk watched from without and neither moved nor spoke as three pale figures were led forth and bound to three posts driven upright in the ground.
The scene is a kind of parody of the crucifixion. And because he echoes the crucifixion, it also reminds you that it's not just the 20th century that has done this.
And he says that it's a crowd of ordinary, decent folk allowing this to happen right in front of them.
Yeah. These are the people who do what they are told.
Yeah.
Which is one definition of decency, but not the best.
And then what happens in the next stanza still sends a shiver down my spine every time I...
Mine too.
When I read it or hear it. Here it
mine
goes.
Mine too.
They were small and could not hope for help, and no help came. What their foes liked to do was done. Their shame was all the worst could wish. They lost their pride and died as men before their bodies died.
What causes those shivers is the rhetorical texture of the poem just suddenly stands at attention, and these beautiful sentences pour out there describing a horrible situation. It makes it, as you say, all the more horrible because of the grandeur of the language.
A few stanzas later on, the poem describes what could almost be a scene from one of the bombed-out German cities that Auden saw right after World War II.
A ragged urchin, aimless and alone, loitered about that vacancy. A bird flew up to safety from his well-aimed stone. That girls are raped, that two boys knife a third, were axioms to him, who had never heard of any world where promises were kept, or one could weep because another wept.
That ragged urchin is great Achilles himself. Just a boy whose mother can't protect him by having a great shield made for him.
I never made that connection. So Achilles, the great warrior, started off, he's saying, as a ragged urchin.
He didn't start out that way. He's become that way. Because he, too, is subject to death.
Mm-hmm.
The poem is rather dark, I think, and it doesn't end in any hopeful way. It ends just in a clear-eyed portrait of what brutality and violence are possible in this life.
Thetis of the shining breasts cried out in dismay at what the god had wrought to please her son, the strong, iron-hearted, man-slaying Achilles, who would not live long.
What a difference it would make in this poem if it hadn't had that last line. She cries out at what the god had wrought to please her son, the strong, iron-hearted man slaying Achilles. If the poem had ended there, it would be still a very strong and shattering thing. But to put that last line down there, who would not live long, bringing everything together, modern, ancient, individual and communal together in one moment where death, the wave of death sort of sweeps everybody underneath it.
J.D. McClatchy, thanks very much.
Thank you.
J.D. McClatchy is the series editor of The Voice of the Poet, a CD collection of poets reading their own work put out by Random House Audiobooks. Thanks to the Department of English at Yale University for allowing us to use the recording of The Shield of Achilles. J.D. McClatchy is also a poet. You can read a handful of his poems and an essay he wrote about Rainer Marie Rilke on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Do let us know what you think of this podcast, where our motto is...
You should never explain a poem, but it always helps, nevertheless.
Our email address is podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.